From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. We've got a great show for you today. First, we got a few letters taking us to task for our discussion last week of the competitors in the Scripps Howard spelling bee. We basically implied that they were a bunch of dorks. Two things. First of all,
dork. D-O-R-K. Dork.
First of all,
please.
It takes one to know one. I mean, all of us here watched our junior high school years go by through the slits of our locker doors. But second, you need to listen to this. It's spelling bee champion Evan O'Dorney being interviewed by CNN.
What did your mom say when you finally won?
Oh, I don't know what my mom said. You better ask my mom if you want the answer to that question.
All right, let me ask your mom. You're making this tough for me today, Evan. Well, here's one thing I hope I'm right about. You like to eat apparently a Subway tuna fish sub before every competition?
No.
So I'm sorry, everybody, but we here at Wait Wait are obligated to bring you the world as it is, not how you might wish it to be.
Actually, Peter, there's an error. That was a tape of a White House press conference.
We also offer our own competition so you can feel good about yourself despite your social awkwardness. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jason from Tacoma.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
That's great. What do you do there out there?
Right now, I'm unemployed.
Oh, great. Enjoying your free time?
I just got out of the Army 2 weeks ago.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, sir.
Seven years. Yeah.
And did you serve overseas?
Quite a few times.
Yeah, how'd it go?
I'm sure you guys see it every day on the news.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess you must be the happiest unemployed person in America right now. Jason, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to comedian Paul Prevenza.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Also say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne.
Okay, I'm dying to know. What's the first thing that you can tell us about that you did when you got home?
Let me guess. I think I kissed the ground.
I bet. And lastly, say hello to writer, performer, and author of the novel Schrodinger's Ball, Mr. Adam Felber.
Adam, hi.
Hi, Jason, and thank you for your service.
No problem. My pleasure.
Well, welcome to the show, Jason. We're going to start today with another round of the game we call Carl Castle's Countdown, or maybe in honor of the summer festival season coming up, Carlapalooza. We're going to play you three songs inspired by the week's news. You tell us what story inspired the song. Do that 2 times out of 3. You will win our prize.
Okay.
Ready to play?
Ready.
Carl, what's up first?
Well, Peter, I can't decide, so let's start with a medley. Here's Lynn Anderson, Glenn Miller's Orchestra, and, of course, Weezer.
I beg your pardon.
Pardon me, boy. Is that the Chattanooga?
So, who's all of a sudden in big need of a pardon after he got sentenced to 30 months in jail?
Oh, no. I think I missed this one.
Big news. The sentencing came down. He was convicted a few months ago. He's got a nickname that he's probably going
Scooter.
To want. Scooter, yes!
Scooter
Libby! I was going to say, he's going to want to change that nickname before he serves his sentence. The cries from conservatives, Republicans, for a presidential pardon for Scooter Libby became howls this week when the judge threw the book at him. This is, of course, after he was convicted of lying to a federal grand jury. The judge was merciless despite, or maybe because, of a sheaf of letters that were sent to him praising Libby from upstanding citizens like Henry Kissinger, Paul Wolfowitz, and Donald Rumsfeld. Their argument boiled down to, basically, if we're not in jail for our crimes, why should he be? Can I tell you something true? I have not seen this anyplace else because I read some of the letters. Paul Wolfowitz is his mentor, known him for years, wrote a letter praising him at length for his hard work and dedication. And one of the stories he told was how Scooter Libby stayed up all night once on the phone talking to newspaper editors because he didn't want them to print a story. And why didn't he want them to print the story? Because that story, which Scooter prevented from being printed, would have blown the cover of a CIA agent. And we all know how Scooter feels about that.
It's not like he's going to Alcatraz anyway.
No.
Yeah, I mean, if he's scratching a tattoo into his forehead, it's going to be like a Halliburton logo.
Carl, what's up next?
Peter, it's Dionne Warwick with a plaintive lament that the president was no doubt singing to a fellow world leader he thought he knew in Germany this week. Why do you have to be a
heartbreaker? Is it a lesson that I never knew? This week, President Bush had a painful meeting with somebody who has broken his heart time and time again. Who?
Would that be the German Chancellor?
No. That's a perfectly good answer.
Vladimir Putin?
Yes, Vladimir Putin. Yeah. That's the guy we're talking about. Remember when President Bush, to use his words, looked into the soul of the man he once called Pooty Poot? It turns out Mr. Bush must have missed and looked into the soul of the guy standing next to him.
Or looked into his Pooty Poot.
Exactly. Because ever since then, Pooty Poot has been a pain. They reunited this week at the G8. Things have gotten so bad between the two countries that President Bush had to reassure the world that he does not plan to attack Russia militarily.
Just emotionally.
Yeah. By withholding.
No, by dating Hugo Chavez.
That'll teach him.
But at the end of the press conference, you know, after all this, Putin did give him that soulful puppy look that he does so well. And President Bush forgave him again, telling the press, quote, "Really, this time I think he's going to change."
I can change him.
Yes. It'll be different. Carl, what's the last song?
Now this time, Peter, it's a lament from Johnny Cash, sung in the Big House this week.
I got stripes around my shoulder. I got chains around my feet.
So who ended up wearing stripes and chains in the L.A. County Jail?
Paris Hilton.
Yes, indeed.
Very easy.
You say there was some sadness. America's prisoner of conscience stopped by the MTV Music Video Awards on Sunday night. Then she headed off to the county jail to serve her 23-day sentence related to a drunk driving charge. This despite getting a bunch of letters of support from Henry Kissinger, Donald Rumsfeld, and Paul Wolfowitz. Then after 5 days, she was released for undisclosed medical reasons. Some people think his code for her being so whiny and annoying that not even the hardened prisoners could stand having her around. Now, she was going to serve the rest of her sentence confined to her Hollywood Hills mansion, which we were told by her people would be just as bad as prison, because to Paris, being sloppy drunk while stuck at home is just as bad as being sober. But after just 24 hours of house arrest, an angry judge hauled her back into court and then sent her back to jail for the whole 45 days. This was obviously upsetting to Paris, who was filmed leaving the courtroom in tears, shrieking, "It's not fair," and crying for her mom. Carl, how did Jason do in our quiz?
Jason was great, Peter. He had 3 correct answers. Jason, you win our prize.
Great, thank you.
Well done. Congratulations, Jason, and thank you again.